Greetings, adventurers, and welcome back to Return to EverQuest, a podcast where we revisit and discuss the classic game of EverQuest. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing the Gnome Crew's adventures in the goblin-infested mines of Nurga and the Temple of Droga. Amazing places, I might say, in Kunark. As always, we want to thank you for subscribing to our show and leaving those amazing ratings and reviews. Now, on to the good stuff. So, after spending some time in Kasora, the Gnome Crew with their allies, Walk-Don-Run, the Magnificent Warrior, Wilhelm, the Brave Beast Lord, and Reaper, the Evil Necromancer, we decided to visit a local clan of goblins, as we always do. But spoiler alert, the goblins were not friendly. Now for some lore.
A few months ago, on a merchant ship sailing across the ocean to Kunar, there was a stowaway yearning for a brand new start. Hiding below the decks with the various animals was a goblin that goes by the name of Unk. He had been quite lucky to remain undetected throughout his journey. This particular goblin that hails from the Runny Eye clan has had quite a rough year. A savage group of gnomes terrorized the outskirts of his homeland and eventually decimated the town within. After so much bloodshed, Unk believed it was time for a new start, far away from Atonica. He was able to find a group of hard-working goblins residing within the mines of Nurga. It isn't much compared to life in Runny Eye, but Unk had found purpose there. The goblins from beneath Frontier Mountains had one objective in their mind: to vanquish the much-hated Sarnax from the adjacent lands. Unk has fully committed to helping the cause, working tirelessly with his trusty pickaxe in hand. He has even formed a close bond with a fellow miner by the name of Plog, who has helped Unk settle down in his new home by teaching him the ways of the Mountain Death Clan, and even letting off some steam by taunting the slaves. Here is where we find Unk today, toiling away in the mines, content with his life and knowing that his hard work is helping get rid of a pest plaguing the lands of his new home, mining right next to his trusty friend, Plog.
You know, Plock, today is a good day. I heard the chief has decided to send out another army to raid the lands north of here to bring down those dirty, scaly vermin.
Oh yes, glory to Rockus. Let's exceed today's mining quota and supply our brothers in arms. Don't you ever wish to be out there helping the clan in the front lines?
I mean, I've just seen too much bloodshed, you know, when my brothers and sisters back in my old home, they were attacked by the spawns of Blair. A ruthless group of savages they was.
Oh no, Unk. You're not going into one of the long-winded stories from Runny Eye again. And what a life of luxury you had back home. We must beat this quarter today, because I have heard some weird rumors of a strange group of foreigners that have been helping us slay the vile Sarnak. What great news!
Wait, foreigners? How many was there? Have you heard of any ugly or small?
Oh, relax, you worry too much. We're safe in these caves. The great chief has closed most of the entrances to our stronghold. We are the Mountain Death Clan. All who have stood against us have met their maker here.
Perhaps. I just can't shake this bad feeling.
All right, we'll take a break. And I know just the thing that will cheer you right up. Let's go throw some rocks at those Exar slaves again. That always does the trick.
The goblin friends make their way through the tunnels to find an Exar to torment. But a loud commotion stops them in the tracks. A thunderous roar and a flash blind them for a moment. As the goblins slowly regain their sight, they're able to make out a small robed silhouette just ahead. It looks like fate has finally come knocking at their door.
So, Nerf and Perf led this expedition, and I felt that these two zones go hand in hand. They're kind of like a buy one, get one free zone couple, if you will. And they reminded me, like, you know, the Lesser Fate arc and Greater Fate arc, where they're interconnected, the storylines kind of mesh with one another. However, these were mines where the goblins of Death Mountain lived and worked. Yes, you heard me right. These goblins live in Death Mountain. why did they really name the zone that? I think the name Death Mountain is pretty cool. Anyway,
that's your point.
Yeah, let me give you some background on the zone here, guys. So first of all, when we entered through the Mines of Nurga, which you reach via the Frontier Mountains, or you can enter through the Temple of Droga, there's a big, massive waterfall, and you drop down inside, and you land this haphazard mine system where all these goblins are working, and there's some nasty spiders down there. So now, to be honest, I will say here, the zone itself was a little boring. I kind of thought it was just like long tunnels with dirt and goblins spread out every once in a while. The theme was cool. I initially thought it was going to be fun, but we found a few slaves, and we had to free them, of course, by putting them out of their misery, you know, like good gnomes do. But besides that, there really wasn't much going on. So the loot was also really, really bad. I think the only items of note that dropped here were the war-painted spear, which is shaman-only dagger, 6 damage, 24 delay, 2 wisdom, and 2 agility. Yuck. And next we have the whistling dagger, which is only for bards, right? And that does 6 damage, 25 delay. Doesn't even act as an instrument, and no stats. Snooze fest. So maybe I'm biased, but what did you all think of the Mines of Nurga?
Wait. I need to go back a little bit. Just bring it back a little. You said that we put a few slaves out of their misery. Do you care to elaborate on what happened there? Did we free them?
Yeah, I think it was like, it reminded me of like the Braveheart movie where he's chained up and he's yelling for freedom. So I didn't know what to do, so I kind of reenacted that scene. I hope it works. So I imagine he's free now.
Oh, from what I remember, you were trying to charm the slaves. That's what you're trying to do.
Help them out, you know? They're perfectly trying to help them out. What's wrong with that?
No, I don't think you can charm slaves. Every time you charm them, they just aggroed and...
Yeah.
And all of a sudden...
So I was acting in self-defense. Perfectly yeah. Standing his ground.
You know, what if they were voluntary indentured servants?
There you go. Good point.
I don't think they were.
And asking these questions after the fact. And, you know, in Braveheart, I just found this out recently. I didn't know when I first saw it. I was a young kid. But do you know what they were actually doing when he was on the table and he was screaming for freedom?
Something very gory.
Yeah,
with their
they're making some sausage.
Yeah. Now, at first, I thought they were degutting him, but they were actually castrating him.
Yeah.
Oof. Man, but we didn't see any of that in Mines of Nurga. I would have left.
Real grim.
Well, you said anyway, they put him out like in Braveheart, so I'm just making the record clear.
Oh, it's true. A whole bunch of eunuchs. Thanks. But anyway, no, I honestly, it was obviously, you know me, it was pretty sad to see the poor little guys walked on run, comes in and just with a little sword tap, boop, and they just, you know, pop over and die. So, but I think you did save one, if I remember correctly. You were able to use a mind wipe, right, on them. I think you were able to stop them from attacking us. I think it was a human.
Yes, I saved one.
One of many.
To tell the story.
Yeah.
What race were they? Do you remember?
There was an Ixar.
There was an Ixar.
There's like a little. Okay. There's a little rat. He looked like a large rat standing up on his legs or something.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And I think a human, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. But when it comes to the zone, I do have to agree with you, Anthony. I mean, there's really not much to look at in those mines. It was mainly like long tunnels of dirt with just mobs sprinkled in between. There was a bit of scenery in some rooms with some mine carts and scaffolding, but there really wasn't much else. One thing to note, though, is that I think this is the first time we saw the new goblin models, right? That was the first zone that we saw instead of those goofy-looking old ones with the pot belly and the butt sticking out on the back. These were a lot more menacing. And
yeah, the Kunark models.
Kunark models.
Because in Intonica, they have the old models in Intonica, right? Like in Split Paw, they were the old, and Highhold Keep, they were the old.
Yeah. And this one looked a lot more menacing. I don't know if you remember. Somebody made the creative decision having their tongue sticking out, just moving back and forth, stuff like that. So it was pretty nice to see a lot more detail in them. So I kind of enjoyed that. Another mob that, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a badger-looking one, right? If I'm not mistaken?
Yes. I forget what they're called. I think they were one of the harder mobs.
Yeah, it was farther down, I think, on the mine, but they were They were nice looking. I wasn't expecting a badger in Kunar, but it was nice to see. I forgot the name of the race.
Hey, you have to look that up. See if you can look that up in a second while I get my piece.
I got it here. It's Briane or something. Briane.
Okay. Well, that's it.
Or Burinai. Yeah, Burinai.
I think we've seen them before somewhere else. I can't remember where. I know I've seen those models prior to that.
Oh, you're right, Briane. Okay, yeah, I just looked it up. Briane Minor. Oh, look at that. Buryanai.
These little furry, nice little little gnoll. Oh, you like? They look like a mole, right?
A mole or badger? Yeah,
badger. Yeah, and they like burrow in the ground. I think there's a story of them related to Kern's Tower, where the Ixar had slaves in Kern's Tower, and one of them escaped. They escaped by digging down into the ground, and they found Burinai or whatever, Burinai, and those little badger things ate that poor guy who escaped, and they came up and they killed everybody in the tower. They took it over.
Oh.
Yeah. They're like little.
You said that, ones. Which tower was that again?
Kern's Tower, which is
in New York. You're right. Own. That's exactly where I saw them, at the very bottom in the dungeon area.
Hmm. Good to know. Okay. Also, one thing to note as well, as we heard in the lore, is that the goblins hate Sarnax, and they are on an never-ending war against the Sarnax. So it's also nice to know that there's a chief as well in these mines. I also can't think of the name, but I think what they said in the lore is that he's kind of crazy because he saw a lot of slaughter, like all their all, you know, goblins being slaughtered. And ever since, all he's done is put out all the efforts from the mines to just, you know, build up a war machine against the Sarnax. So hey, maybe that answers your question. How come, you know, these mines are so desolate and not a lot of things going on? It's because they're putting all the resources into making more weapons and getting, you know, the army ready to keep attacking the Sarnax. That'll be my excuse.
And remember in my lore piece that I did last time on Kasora, I believe part of that story was the goblins at some point came and invaded in Tonica, and that's probably how they got into these mines, inhabited in them from someone else or just dug into the mountain.
So what I have on that, yes, interesting. So it's a little backwards here from your take. So the goblins originally came from Fëanor and to Kunark. They invaded from Fëanor. They may have gone from Fëanor to Antonica, you know, as well, but these goblins, they did come from Fëanor. And the chieftain is Chief Rokus, more like Brokus, because he has no money and his place sucks. So,
and you know what? Let's think about Fëanor. It's where do we know of goblins being at in there?
Butcherblock Mountains.
Butcherblock Mountains, okay.
Just goblin camps.
And you're right. And in the adjacent zone when you're headed towards Unrest.
Dragner, or is it
Dagner's Cauldron? You have them around the water areas there and swimming in the water.
Yeah, camps there. Yep.
Yeah, it is weird how they would come from there because there's no establishments of goblins there, right? Like the ones that we know of are in Tonica. That is weird.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy that from my perspective, the Antonica goblins are the most developed when it comes to, you know, settlements. So, but like you said, I think these are just the Fëanor goblins coming into Kunark, right? So it has nothing to do with the goblins in Antonica. I'm quite curious. I don't know much of the lore when it comes to the goblins and their origin story, but quite curious to know how they came to populate those two continents, Fëanor and Tonica.
Now, I know in Butcherblock, there is, next to the water, somewhere in Butcherblock, there are goblin encampments, and I have never hunted there. I just saw them during our run going through there with these characters, but before, I've never hunted there. I've hunted at the chessboard, I've hunted everywhere else in there, except at these goblin camps, and apparently some people say their great experience. There's like two or three camps there. So it was interesting. I wonder if they are the same faction of Z's. I don't know. But I think they were Aqua Goblins. So yeah, it would be interesting to see the backstory of all the goblins, how those factions came out, what's the difference between each clan, like kind of like the kobolds, right? They spread out throughout Norath in different factions. But yeah, we'll have to look into that in a future thing. But moving on with our the mines here, I believe this zone has to be one of the worst, for me, in my opinion, that we've visited yet. And I have three reasons notated here why. First is the lack of named mobs. I just don't remember there being that many named mobs in this zone, anything special, right? And there was also a lack of loot that comes along with that. And the loot that I do remember, it was a majority of no-drop items that fell off these things. So there's not even anything for us really to sell. And then you had a lack of core, right? You guys mentioned all the mines look the same. It's like tunnels with no special or unique decor. So it was just dull, boring, like you guys mentioned. Second, we should remind our listeners that we are on the Eridune TLP server, which is during the Planes of Power expansion. And maybe a recent one has just come out beyond that. But we apparently visited the 1.0 version of this zone. So this is like Splitpaw. There was a version that came afterwards. Same thing here. There's a 2.0 version that came in a later expansion, which increases the level of mobs from the 30s to 40s, which is what we went to. It makes it to them level 40 to 50. It also fixes my prior grievances by adding in more named mobs and better loot as well. So third, if Nerf and Perf's zone reconnaissance wasn't half-baked, we would have known all this beforehand and probably picked a different zone, but that's none of my business.
Wow.
And lastly, do you guys remember the Sleeping Ogre?
Yeah. Sleeping Ogre, yeah. We were wondering what that was.
Yeah. Well, I looked him up, and he's part of the Monk Epic Quest. So you have to encounter him at some point. But to our listeners, if you haven't been there, there's an ogre that is sleeping on the floor. And I don't ever remember seeing a mob like that before, but here it is, just sleeping on the floor in the middle of a cave with these goblins and other weird creatures. So that was a pretty cool find. That was the only part that I actually remember that was unique about that zone.
Yeah, this zone was kind of like, hey, Bill, we're going to have to launch Ruins of Kunark next week, so we need an extra zone there. You're going to have to work the weekend, put out something, and this Desire just like goes in there, and he just puts together some empty mines and just like throws it out. It was the most underdeveloped zone.
You're gonna offend a designer out there.
I was just saying, hey,
what if they put their heart and soul into this zone and you just
that was a masterpiece?
He's probably working in a new career field if that's the case.
Oh no. I mean, we've seen worse zones. I mean, remember the Gorge of King's Orb? Come on. You got to cut this
zone. That zone is better than this zone, man.
No way.
You see, you had something unique about that zone. You had the big eyes, the King's Orb himself on that throne.
You just said it. You had a sleeping ogre. I mean, come on. At least you have uniqueness here. I mean,
I think Anthony's right. This is like, you know, I'm the boss, and I said, listen, guys, I said I needed 50 zones, and you gave me 49. And then Anthony goes, hey, boss, I'll have a zone for you in 50 minutes. Just give me 50 minutes at the end of the hour.
I think it's more of, he had, instead of having, like you said, two zones, he just grabbed, he was working on the temple, he or she was working on the temple of Droga. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we need an extra zone? Okay, whack. So it's got a piece of Temple of Droga.
There you go. 3 minutes. Here you go, sir.
Drop some assets in there. Oh, you need a sleeping ogre? Okay. Hey, Bob, put a quest on your monk epic and make him go to the mine.
I got a theory here. So the theory is there was a designer who did the Gorge of King's Orb, right? That guy or gal. Their name, let's call them Pat. Right, that's an androgynous name. So Pat is a designer.
Great movie.
Classic EverQuest. They're like, Pat, what the hell? This zone sucks. There's nothing in it. Gorgor King Zorb. And you're like, look, we got a contract with Pat. We can't get rid of them. So we got to keep them on the team for a couple years, you know? Sure, fine. They don't use them up. But then Pat's day comes as Windsor Cunard. The dying team is knee deep in getting this game to launch. And he's able to make another zone. Who's left? No one but Pat. So it's like the Rudy movie. It was like, Pat. Pat, and they give the zone to Pat. As then Pat comes back after all this time, blood, sweat, and tears, shows in the zone. They're like, God damn it, Pat, what the hell is the zone? So,
he made Gorgor King Zorb, like, he doubled it, you know, the size. And like, here you go, you know.
Do you hear my kids in the hall?
No.
I don't. Oh my God, where you guys been? I thought you guys were from the 90s. I'm making me feel old.
I've been on an EverQuest podcast.
Kids in the Hall, you know, Mr. Show. What else was back in the 90s? You know, it was like SNL. Yeah,
Joining the Army, that movie. Joining the Army.
In the Army Now, you mean?
Army Now or something, yeah.
With when they were the water guys?
That one dude. Forget his name.
Oh, my goodness. I think I'd rather replay Mines of Droga before I watch that movie.
What, in the Army Now?
No, the first one he's talking about.
Oh, Polly. No, it's a great movie. It's hilarious. A lot of things, you know, a lot of movies and a lot of things from the 90s obviously they don't do well nowadays, obviously. But there's still some treasures like that in the Army Now. Another one is Down Periscope. Those silly 90s comedy movies.
Can you give me an IMDb rating on that first one that you mentioned there?
Okay.
This is
it's be now, bad. My 1990s movie review now.
While he does that, I'm going to make quick mention that these one thing about these zones that we're talking about in this one is that it seems what's different from this zone and others is that they spread out the mob, so they're kind of in camps or solo by themselves, so you have areas to rest. There's not really any roaming mobs. So that's kind of unique.
Yeah, so if you're by yourself in a zone where no one goes, this is really good for you. It's like,
yeah, yeah. Hello. You could kite, you could do the root.
And there was no one there when we went. It was like a dead zone, you know,
yeah.
When I was in it. I don't know what it's like on P99. I imagine it's similar.
Are the results in?
And it has a whopping 2.7 out of 10. Highly recommended.
Now, you see, my threshold is if it's below a 7, if it's below a 7, it's not worth my time.
Are you kidding me?
That's my threshold, man.
Oh, man, you're missing so much gold.
Like this one, huh?
I'm telling you, if you have the time of day, like a Saturday, a lazy Saturday, and you want to just spend some time just, you know, watching some good old movies. A Down Periscope, In the Army Now. Those are the movies you're going to watch, right?
Here we go. So, you know, I feel like I'm wrangling that guy in the group who just keeps pulling mobs. And you're like, stop it, man. We couldn't take it. He's coming in, bringing more.
I have to say, in Rotten Tomatoes, that movie got a 0%.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
An audience score of 29%.
So, on to our next topic. Temple of Droga is on the docket here. Let's discuss it, all right? So this zone, pretty similar, right, to the Mines of Nurgle, except there are some small goblin structures in there. They had like a budget of $10, I guess, for the graphic design here. They attempted to give the zone a feeling of like a big goblin settlement. It's supposed to be the religious center for the goblins who invaded Kunark from Fëanor long ago, as I mentioned. They set up a powerful goblin tribe here. Apparently, it's rumored to be one of the strongest in all of Norrath. But let's be real. It doesn't compare to Soul A or Running Eye, in my opinion. I mean, these people are broke. Now, you have more powerful goblins. There's spiders. There's more slaves. And at least there is better loot in Zone. I'll give it that. This loot is actually some of the most famous from the early days. It is the Circlet of Shadows, which used to be a powerful insta-click invis item, but it got nerfed. Then there is the famous Blade of the Earthcaller, which is ranger-only dagger that procs root. I remember trying to get some rangers trying to PK me with that back in the day. They're always trying to root me. Anyway, there's some other good loot. The Gauntlets of Potence that gives you plus 15 strength. That's pretty powerful. And the Shroud of Nature for Druids and Rangers that gives plus 6 wisdom and some saves. Overall, not bad, but I don't know. The zone still felt lackluster to me. Do you all feel the same?
You know, just echoing what I said earlier, yeah, there's no comparison. I mean, I believe Soul A might be the most quote-unquote developed city
Goblin City that we've seen yet. And these two zones, you know, you had like, what is it, a castle with a bar, shops, even they even played darts. They had a throne, a king, and everything. And this one, you just have a number of lean-to tents and very small structures. So like I mentioned earlier, if I had to put an excuse or maybe a reason why it's the way it is because these guys are more concerned with mining and using all their resources to wage war against the Sarnax. But that's what I would say. What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's no comparison with Soleil and, like Anthony said, Runny Eye. So in my personal favorite Goblin Zone so far is Runny Eye. And I say that because it was predominantly goblins. Like in Soleil, you had a lot of goblins, but you had a lot of other creatures. And Runny Eyes just has, I don't know, it's like a homey feel to it, you know?
I thought you hated that zone.
I did, but we're talking about just... Forget what I said before.
Yeah.
We're talking about goblin, just goblin zones, right? So I'm very limited here. So I prefer, maybe that's the best choice, Runny Eye over Soleil or... the mines in the temple, because it has a much homier feel to it. There's a bank, and I think there was there a bank in Soleil as well?
Yeah, there was.
I think they had a vendor, but I don't know about the bank.
Oh, they had a vendor. I don't know about the bank.
Think they had a bank.
So that's what I liked about it. You know, Runny Eye is technically a city, so it's just, I have a preference for that zone than this one. And go ahead, Carlos.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I know I'm kind of delineating from like when we were talking, but when you were playing way back in the day on your PvP server, did you ever visit Runny Eye and hung out down there? Because I know that a lot of people said that this was like a home base for evil races in Antonica.
I never did. It was too close to... The closest home city is Rivervale, and that's a light city, right? And I was a dark character, so to get all the way over there, I'd have to go through too many zones, and I would be an outcast. So I'm pretty sure it was dominated by the light characters hunting there. I highly doubt there was any dark characters hunting in that zone.
Gotcha.
But I believe my grievances with the Mines of Nurga may also be applied to this zone as well, the Temple of Droga. You know, if you think the zones are almost replicas to one another. Except like Anthony mentioned, there are some nuances that differentiate it, like decor-wise. There was a specific part, I don't know if you guys remember, we were on a bridge at some point, and I looked down on the bridge, and I'm like, what's that down there? There's some goblins down there. And as I was looking down, I had levitate on, and I didn't realize it, but I started falling a little bit. I tried to get back on the bridge, it was too late. So I called you guys to come help me. I'm like, hey guys, you need to get over here and help me, because I had to run towards, there was a zone line nearby, and I had to run towards it. And I don't know if it was this one or the mines, I forget. But as I was running towards the zone, you guys were like, no, we came down to the bottom and we're here to help out. So I ran back. We had like 8+ mobs on us. You guys remember that?
Yeah, I remember. Then there were slaves down there. That's where the slaves were. There were some slaves down there. And we fell down, and there was all these Sarnax that you brought, this big train of people.
Yep.
And I think you looked through the wall again one time with your gnome, and then she pulled them all again, and they killed one of us or something. Like, they were killing everybody. I remember down there. It was a bloodbath.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the most, you know, the exciting things that we had there. Something that actually challenged us.
No, the exciting thing is not watching you look through yet another door and pulling. I don't even know why you look through the doors, man. You can see through the walls with your gnome vision. You walk up through the door.
It happens in the walls too. It happened in one of the places that we go to. In the future, it happened again. It was like, I looked through the wall, and then, you know, which we'll talk about later, but, you know, all the mobs ran straight at me from through the wall.
Yeah. Like, who pays for it? The cleric.
Yeah. But lastly, I was really proud of our allies that were with us, because these zones were so boring that I'm surprised they stuck with it the entire time. We were in there for a couple hours going through the entire thing. So props to them.
This zone here was interesting. You know, I think you saw the chieftain in it. He wasn't anything special, in a special model, easy to kill. Some of the loot was cool, nostalgic. Like I said, I remember the Circle of Shadows because I was a Shadow Knight. I think I ended up having that back in the day on my Shadow Knight. It was really good for, you know, going invis in a pinch and keeping open a spell slot, one of your spell memory spots. I thought, though, this wasn't fun. You know, I never went to it before, and I don't think I ever go to it again. It's just not, there was no good experience. It wasn't as fun as I had hoped. I liked the Goblin Seas. I liked Soleil a lot, and I liked Runny Eye, but by far, both of those zones, when it comes to like a goblin zone are much better in my opinion.
Now, you know, I never heard of these zones before this time. Have you, did you hear about them before you went there or no?
No, I saw them like on the, you know, a zone map or whatever. And I, what are these zones? I saw they were like goblin zones and I thought it'd be kind of cool to check them out. But I, there's probably a reason why we never heard of them before.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, thanks for your impromptu movie review. So if you want a good movie, everybody go check out that 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Go watch. If you really want to watch a movie, one of those awful movies that they're so bad, they're really, really good. Go watch Down Periscope. That I think that's one of those classics from the mid-90s.
You should create a blog, Carlos. fratedmovies.com. I mean,
it's Kelsey Grammer in all its glory and, you know, in the mid-90s.
Oh, man. I think the only bad movie that's so bad it's good is just that one with that guy. He has the long hair. James Franco made a movie where they made fun of it. He's like, I did not. I'll show you, you know, The Room or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
awesome.
It.
Yeah. The Room. All or with it.
What about yep. The one? I think he was, so, you know, Kelsey Grammer, I think he was another horrible movie in the 90s. It's what's it called? Tank Wars or Bradley Wars or something?
It was Pentagon Wars.
Pentagon Wars? The one that they were fighting for, like, the new tank contract?
Pentagon Wars, yes.
Yeah, another classic. See, there you go. Plenty of mid-90 movies.
There we go. Everybody, thanks for sticking with us like our allies did in the mines of Nurgah and the temple of Drogo. This is all we have for today. You know, and we're going to be bringing you some more action from the City of Mist as we have our next episode. We'll be discussing that. So if you haven't already, please like us, follow us, leave that 5-star rating or review, and follow us on Twitter at @ReturnToEQ. That's at @Return2EQ. And again, thank you all for everything. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you all next time.
Adios.